RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Professor Nat Warren is an internationally recognized animal behavior and welfare scientist. She is the director at Companion Animals New Zealand, CANS. CANS is a charity who are passionate, obviously, about transforming New Zealand into a global leader in companion animal welfare, educating humans first and foremost. CANS is also the organization responsible for the New Zealand Companion Animal Register, the national pet microchip database, with more than 1.3 million animals registered. And we've invited Nat onto RCR to talk about the Tasman District Council's proposal to ensure all domestic cats be de-sexed, microchipped, and registered in an effort to reduce the number of native bird deaths and how this may impact companion animals and their owners. Nat, welcome to RCR. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much, Paul.
A world leader in companion animals. That's going for the moon, isn't it?
Well, I'm quite old. I mean, you know, I think, you know, once you've been around a bit, you know, you can claim a little bit of space. But no, I've been involved in animal welfare research and education for around about 30 or so years. And during that time, I have obviously led big research teams and published, and also developed quite a lot of educational programs in the field.
Okay, let's talk about the Tasman District Council's proposal first up. What do you make of it? How do you feel about it?
I feel it's a good proposal. I mean, they're not alone in going this route. I mean, of the, I think there's about 67 councils or similar in New Zealand, and I think around about 10 now have gone this road of looking at how they can help manage cat populations. And I suppose really look at a way to promote much more responsible pet guardianship or animal ownership. And so, yes, I mean, definitely we're very supportive of their proposal.
What is the approximate cat population, Nat? Do we know? Do we have any idea?
I mean, we know from the various census surveys that we carry out. So we do a survey every 3 or so years. And the last one was in 2020. And we're just finishing our 2024 one. But the last one showed us that there is around about 4.35 million companion animals in New Zealand. And of those, there's around about 1.2 million cats, pet cats, owned cats in the country.
Yeah. And then there's all the feral cats that we don't know about.
Well, we don't know about them. They're obviously living their lives well away from us, and they're certainly not part of those census surveys.
But we have no idea of the population of feral cats, do we? Can we make a guesstimate, do you think?
Not that I can tell you about. It may well be that if when you are speaking to, you know, other conservation groups, that they'll be able to give you a better idea.
And is it the domestic pets that are the problem here, do you think, or part of the problem?
Actually, the cats themselves are not really the problem, in my opinion. It's the owners. It's the ownership of those animals. So where we've got pet cats, we've obviously got a lot of people who love those cats dearly. And if they're responsible owners, they will make sure that those cats are de-sexed, that they're not breeding in an uncontrolled way, and that they're also microchipped and registered on the New Zealand Companion Animal Register, which is a lost and found register, but at least it shows that they are owned animals. And so if the owners are doing their jobs properly and looking after their animals as responsible guardians, then the cats themselves are not the problem.
Okay, but the cats, do the cats have any, I mean, here's a basic question, any rights to maintain their reproductive capability given to them by nature?
That's a really interesting question, Paul. Obviously, it's a good philosophical discussion point about animal rights.
Yeah.
You know, we're an animal welfare charity. So I would say from my perspective, I'm much more interested in the welfare risk to the animal of breeding at a very young age. So we're talking about cats. Cats can start breeding when they're under 4 months of age. And that's extremely young. It puts them at risk of a whole range of different things. They can have lots and lots of litters in their lifetime if they're not checked. And that also is a welfare risk to them. And then, of course, they become a problem. And, you know, in some cases, if they're Owners, you know, can't cope with all of these kittens that they're, you know, that they're breeding, then those kittens themselves, you know, start to become dumped or, you know, again, have a, you know, a not particularly great life. So, you know, I feel that, you know, being a responsible animal owner means being able to control the breeding of the cat. And I don't believe that that cat suffers at all if it's neutered properly at a veterinary clinic, you know, using proper painkillers and so on. And it probably doesn't have a clue that it could have bred.
Right. You never know though, do you?
No.
Okay. In terms of the role of companion pets or animals, which are pets really, right?
Yeah.
You know, some people have a sort of like almost like a human to human relationship with their animals, let's say, obviously very important. That's something that is never going to go away, I would imagine. So why do you think we are so partial to pets, do you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if you look way back as to why these animals were domesticated in the first place, you know, you look back to Egyptian times, particularly for cats, and then, you know, right the way back to times when we were sort of hunter-gatherers, when we were associated with dogs and even horses. And, you know, that really, there was a function to our relationship at that time. And I think as, you know, we lived very closely with those species and we kind of co-evolved with them, you start to see that they fill other, you know, other functions in our life. And certainly now, you know, the numbers of cats and dogs that are with families, you know, that when we look at our surveys, we know that most of these animals are owned by families. And we know that having children and having pets with children, again, done well, can have a really good positive effect on those children's lives.
But even if they're de-sexed, they're still going to go out and do the thing that, well, in this case, cats are going to want to do. The apex predators in the small animal world, let's say, de-sexed or not, they're still going to hunt down birds probably, aren't they?
I don't think, yeah, there is a little bit of a knock-on effect from de-sexing, particularly for male cats who will be less likely to wander because they're not looking for other reasons to move around. But, and they still need to be managed. And there is obviously quite a lot of discussion around how cats can be managed effectively and humanely in New Zealand. And I think part of that strategy is the sort of thing that these councils are doing, asking people to be very clear about their ownership of the cat through a microchip and then registering that microchip, but also de-sexing to prevent lots and lots of other cats from being born. But then, you know, in terms of how you then can manage your cat effectively, there's quite a lot of work now where, you know, people are thinking about how they can transition their cat to more of an indoor lifestyle.
Transition, that's a word we hear a lot these days. Applies to cats too. Sorry to jump in.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you've got a cat that's been living outside, then obviously they have, or they can get outside when they want to through a cat flap, then they have a rich life that is outside of your control. And certainly if you're an urban cat owner and you've ever had a problem with a neighbour that doesn't like your cat climbing the fence, then you'll know what that's like. Being able to control a cat is a difficult thing. But I think that there's quite a lot more research now about, you know, how cats can be managed successfully, having more of a restricted lifestyle, but still enjoying a good life.
Yeah, so that's all right for the owner, but what does the cat get out of it? Here we go, back into philosophical territory again. But, you know, when you're controlling every, like a slave pet, does that sit well?
I mean, obviously, you've got to think about what pets are for us. I mean, they get a lot out of their relationship with us. They get shelter and food and protection. And they get to live in the most comfortable surroundings. I imagine most cat owners will be thinking about how much their cat, you know, takes up the best spaces in the house, real connoisseurs of comfort. So I think that they get something out of their relationship with us, and our responsibility to them is to make sure that they can live the best life they can within the environment that we can provide for them. Now, New Zealand, you know, it's a hot topic in New Zealand, cats. New Zealand, you know, has other, you know, pressing agendas, I suppose, around, you know, our special native wildlife and conservation areas and so on. And so I think if we want to be able to continue to have this wonderful relationship with our companion cats, our pet cats, we need to really adapt. And the cat is an adaptable creature, and provide the best life we can for those cats within whatever restrictions our society decides to impose upon them.
Yeah, so in terms of predator-free, which I think is a goal, isn't it, by 2050, DOC's plan for a predator-free New Zealand, which means if you want that, you really can't have anything, any apex predator, the cat, roaming around at all. So this is just the beginning of the end for cats, isn't it, ultimately?
I don't think so. I think that there may be some, you know, people who perhaps think like that, but most people, you know, in New Zealand who have cats, you know, value their cats highly, and I think would be prepared to adapt to make sure that their cats, you know, are not a, you know, seen as a negative or a, you know, sort of unwanted within the New Zealand context.
Well, it sort of feels like that already. How much does it cost to do the de-sexing and the microchipping? What's the cost involved? Can you tell us, Nat?
Yeah, well, I can tell you a little bit. I mean, I know what the basic cost is, but obviously these are procedures that are carried out by veterinarians, and each vet practice will have its own, you know, scale of cost associated with that. But, you know, for a cat, I mean, we're talking about a few hundred dollars to get them de-sexed. Microchipping, again, I mean, a microchip itself, it doesn't cost a huge amount, but obviously you need the expert to put that microchip in. And then you have to register the cat on the New Zealand Companion Animal Register, the NZCAR. Now, the registration itself costs $15 for the lifetime of that animal. But the obviously the whole process of that carried out by the vet may be between $70 and $100.
Yeah, so people have to be able to afford it or are willing to spend the money. I'm picking that many won't. Either won't have the money for it or won't make the effort. What do you do about that, do you think? Bring in harsh penalties.
I think that's the problem with the bylaws, is really the enforcement of these sorts of things. My own sort of feeling is that what we try to do with Companion Animals New Zealand is to provide really good information to pet owners and you know, reach out and try and encourage them to think about the positives in relation to the, you know, looking after the best interests of that animal and providing the animal with a great life.
And do we know if dogs go out and do this sort of stuff as well?
What, breed and, yeah,
go No, go and attack, you know, native wildlife and sort of
I mean, I think
have their way with them.
It is true that, again, dogs probably don't wander quite as much as the cat. They are different species. But, you know, they can certainly, if they get into an area where there's birds, for example, that are nesting and, you know, they're not being controlled around those conservation areas or, you know, bird nesting areas, then they can scare the animals. And if they're scared off their nests, then they're obviously going to affect their breeding.
Yeah, okay. So in the big picture, as far as you're concerned, this is the way to go.
Well, I mean, I think it's one of the ways to go. I think there's a big education push for all animal owners to understand the impact of their animals, but also making sure that the, you know, that we're managing breeding and we're not having, you know, too many animals that aren't well managed and can't be looked after properly. And then obviously making sure that there's a permanent identifier in each animal and that that's registered somewhere.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Nat Warren, Professor Nat Warren, who is the director at Companion Animals New Zealand. Interesting to hear your views. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.